As you know, I was in Kelowna a few weeks ago for the BCMB meetings, and on that Sunday morning that we were there in Kelowna, I attended a church. It's right in the downtown core of Kelowna, and they had this benediction that they read as part of the service, and this church is meeting and providing services to the homeless population of downtown Kelowna. And so they do things like providing community meals, wound care, showers, laundry service, housing transition, and they are the community for funerals of homeless people. So drug overdoses, the city calls on this church, one of our MB churches, to do all of this. They are just embedded into that community. And if you think of a pastor having a parish, that is his parish. And as we were in that service, they read this Franciscan blessing. And in fact, we read this just a few weeks ago when Gary was here at CDL. It was interesting to me that he read it too. But let me read this for you again, and think of these words in the context. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths, superficial relationships that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain and rejection and hunger and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain to joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. And reading that benediction in that church reminded me of Jesus' first sermon where he quoted Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And that Sunday, I gained a fresh appreciation for what it means for us to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God in our cities. And I want to pick up this morning on the theme of this prayer, that God would bless you and me this morning with discomfort, with easy answers and half-truths, and to see how that prayer of discomfort might tie in with Pentecost Sunday. A few weeks ago, we looked at the Great Commission. And again, I said a few weeks ago that these are some of Jesus' last words, the final 40 days of his life on earth. After his resurrection, before his ascension, Jesus met with the disciples a number of times and shared a number of important words with them. And when you read the Great Commission in the context of all those things he said in those last 40 days, it becomes clear that making disciples is a life of discomfort. Jesus is inviting us into discomfort. On the evening of Easter Sunday, Jesus met with the disciples in that locked room, and he said, "Look at the scars on my hands and my feet." And then he said to them, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." That feels uncomfortable. He said to Peter three times, "Feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." Well, what did Jesus, the good shepherd, do but to lay down his life for the sheep? And so Jesus' example all of a sudden becomes Peter's responsibility. Would you be comfortable with that? And then in the Great Commission, it's on the screen, Jesus doesn't send them out with a suggestion. "Wherever you go in all the world, if you're comfortable, maybe you could make disciples." Making disciples wasn't a suggestion. It was the one thing at the forefront of Jesus' mind in the last words that he spoke to them. And he sent them out with spiritual authority, the authority of the Father. As the Father sent Jesus to uncomfortable places with the authority on earth to forgive sins, Jesus is now extending that same authority to the disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I'm sharing it with you, and I'm going with you. Think back to what Jesus said to Peter and his disciples when they declared for the first time. They were talking about, who do people say that I am? And they said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus affirmed that, and then he said this in Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Is there something in the spiritual realms, in heaven and on earth, that needs to be bound or loosed, to be locked or unlocked? The disciples will be holding the keys to that authority. Would you be comfortable with that? Binding is having the authority to hold back the forces of Satan and his kingdom. The gates of hell want to prevail against God's kingdom, but Jesus has declared that when he builds his church, the gates of hell will not prevail. Who's going to declare the authority of the kingdom? The disciples will. They're the ones that hold the keys. Loosing is setting people free from spiritual prisons of addiction, systemic injustice, prisons that they can't get out of themselves, prisons of Satan. We hold the keys. We declare the freedom of Christ, and we do so with the authority of Christ. We have all authority in heaven and on earth to bind and to loose. Are you comfortable with that? Now notice in this verse that Jesus said to the disciples, I will give you the keys. He didn't say, I have given you the keys. They don't have the keys yet. So the question is, when do they get the keys? And the answer is Pentecost. Acts 1:8, you will receive power, this authority, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And so the Holy Spirit at Pentecost gives the disciples of Jesus the authority of the risen Christ by the filling of the Holy Spirit. And now the authority of Christ resides in us, and Christ is with us to exercise that authority. And if you think about that, we are unstoppable in the spiritual realms. This is, in my opinion, the most unlikely transfer of spiritual authority ever to take place in the spiritual realms, in heaven or on earth. That the spiritual authority, think about this, to bind and to loose has been given to you. How likely is that? How do you feel about that? I think we tend to shy away from that kind of power and authority. It might be great for some people, but not for me, little old me. What could I do? Well, may God bless you with discomfort at half-truths today. Because the whole point of Pentecost is that regular, normal, everyday fishermen, people like little old you and me, are granted unparalleled spiritual authority. That's the whole point of Pentecost. It brings us back to that Franciscan prayer. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world and that you can do what others claim cannot be done to bring justice and kindness to our children and to the poor. But I wonder if we haven't grown comfortable with half-truths. The half-truth is this: little old me, what could I possibly do? The full truth is God's power is made perfect in weakness. your weakness does not disqualify you. And so I want to risk this morning some discomfort. I want to risk stepping into this uncomfortable conversation, and I want to risk what I'm going to call an exaggerated caricature of how you and I, we in North America, may have, without realizing it, diminished the importance of Pentecost and what the Holy Spirit intended for us on Pentecost Sunday. So this is an exaggeration, it's a caricature. This is not to say that any one of us is completely like this. Caricatures by nature are exaggerations. Can you see how I'm trying to defend myself from offending you? I'm trying to offend you without offending you, okay? This is a caricature. But sometimes we need an exaggeration to see some things that might otherwise be apparent to us. Sometimes we need a magnifying glass to see things that should be apparent. And Jesus said one of the marks of kingdom people is that they have eyes to see. And so may God give us eyes to see through this character this morning. So I begin with this. Do we love the Holy Spirit in our lives? And I go, of course we do. We love how the Holy Spirit is present for us in worship. We look forward to coming together and lifting our hands together in worship and being filled with the Spirit as we lift our voices. And we even talk about it afterwards. Man, the Spirit was with us in worship today. Wasn't that great? I just loved how we entered into worship. The Spirit of God was thick in the room. These phrases that we use to try to capture what we love about worshiping in the Spirit. We love what He does. We also love the fruit of the Spirit. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit, that the character of Christ would be like us. I've been praying this weekend that God would give me more patience. We have 3 grandkids staying with us for 4 days, and oh my word, I'm tired. God, give me patience. They're just young kids. I can't expect them to be adults. So I pray for patience. I pray for self-control. I pray for joy. Don't we all pray for joy? God, we would love Your joy to fill us. We want these things. Come, Holy Spirit, produce Your fruit in our lives. We love it when You do this for us. But has it occurred to you that, again, a caricature, has it ever occurred to you that we may engage in the filling of the Spirit in worship and the fruit of the Spirit in our character for selfish reasons? That in our caricature, I want to exaggerate the possibility that maybe we desire the Spirit because of what's in it for me. I want more joy. Of course I do. We all want more joy. I want to experience the filling of the Spirit in worship because I love what it feels like. Who doesn't? Is it possible that there's a selfish motive there? What about the gifts of the Spirit? Do we love the gifts of the Spirit? Well, now you're actually asking me to serve, and I'm pretty busy. Maybe give me the gifts that I can do without it taking too much of my time. I'll take the gift of encouragement. I can do that anytime, anywhere. I don't have to show up early. I don't have to attend meetings. And I don't want to be the leader, so please don't give me the gift of leadership. That just makes me uncomfortable. There's that word again. Now, we all know and want all the gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ at Mountain Park. Jesus says that we're all given gifts and that every part of the body is important. And if one part of the body isn't functioning properly, the whole body suffers. So we know this, we get this, and we want this as long as it doesn't cost me too much of my time, as long as I don't have to feel uncomfortable doing things that I would rather not do. Feeling offended? I hope not, because this is just a caricature. I'm not describing you, I'm describing this character that I'm creating. Third, let's think about the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost. Again, in this caricature, how might I feel about being entrusted with the power and spiritual authority to bind and to loose? Well, I think my characters would say, no thanks. That's not what I'm into. I don't want to be responsible for that. People with authority are expected to do something with that authority, and quite frankly, I'm quite content to just live in the shadows. Not only that, but if you think about it, there's really nothing in it for me. Binding and loosing is important for the lost, sure, but that's not me. I'm not lost. I'm found. So I'm not comfortable being responsible with spiritual authority for other people. Okay, so I've created this caricature, okay? Three ways the Holy Spirit benefits us. The fruit of the Spirit, which is really manifested in individuals, and I go, boy, I like that. That benefits me. I want that. Gifts of the Spirit, which are given to the body of the church, but that's costly to me, so we'll think about that. And then the power and the authority of the Spirit, which is for lost people that don't know Christ outside of his kingdom, and that's uncomfortable for me, okay? So there's our caricature. Now, playing with this caricature, here's what I want you to do. Let's rate each of these three elements, three expressions of the Holy Spirit, on a scale of 1 to 10. We'll give them scores, okay? So 1 is very low. 1 is as low as you can go. 10 is like Jesus himself, okay? So what would this caricature that I just created, what would his score be? And I'm going to suggest that his score might be 9-1-1. Okay? This person is all about what's in it for me. I want the joy, I want the patience, but I don't have time to serve in the church, and I don't really care about the lost. Not that they're not important to God, okay? They're just not important to me. Okay, again, a caricature. We're doing something here. Now, as you can see, 911 is an emergency. The kingdom of God will suffer loss with 911. The church will be without the gifts that God has designed for the church, and the gates of hell will prevail because no one's holding the keys. Does that make sense? Again, this is an exercise. Now, I want to do something positive with this exercise. We've been leaning into the negative side a little bit, and I want to turn it around and do something positive with it. What I want you to do is, in your mind, think about just the general church in North America, okay? We're not talking about our church. We're talking about the general church in North America, and what I want you to do is to give us as a Western culture church a three-digit score, okay? This is not scientific. The first digit is for, it measures our desire for the fruit of the Spirit, okay? The second one represents our commitment to actually practice all of the gifts of the body. And then the third represents how we are exercising the power and authority of binding and loosing to advance God's kingdom. So, three-digit score. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to come up with your own score. Okay? 5 seconds. It's right on the screen. Yeah. So, you've got a three-digit score. This is not scientific. Okay? We're playing with caricatures here. Now, what I want you to do is, at your table, I want you to share what your score is. You don't have time to explain your numbers. All you're going to say is your three-digit scores, okay? And this is not a confession. This is not an accusation about our church. This is just, we're just trying to create a picture of where is the church in North America? What is our general Western church mindset? Okay, so you've got 15 seconds at your table. All you get to say is what your three digits are. Go. All right, I'm going to call you together. Okay? So we don't have to debate these. This is not scientific. So, yes, Dave.
Are you asking us to rank the North American church or ourselves as an individual?
North American church. This is not us. This is not a confession. This is not how I am. This is, what is our Western culture church? How do we generally behave? Okay? So, my question is simply this. How many of you had the third digit being the lowest score? Raise your hands. Okay, quite a significant majority. You gotta think, isn't that interesting? The thing that was most important to Jesus, the reason that he told the disciples to wait, was so that the Holy Spirit would come upon them so that they would have power to be witnesses. That they would have the authority of the kingdom of God to bind and to loose. And the thing that was most important to Jesus has somehow in the Western church taken a diminished role. Now, this again, it's not a scientific survey, okay? I'm not claiming that we've come up with a definitive result here. This is a caricature. But even if that caricature is a partially accurate reflection of the church in our country, I have to ask myself the question that Dave just asked, well, what about me personally? What about our church? How have we been formed in a culture that's not elevating the role of the Holy Spirit and the things that are important to Christ? We've been fasting and praying for 5 weeks now leading up to Pentecost Sunday. We started praying for the authority of the Father that's given to the Son and the authority that the Son has given to us and his presence with us. The second week, we prayed about the presence of Jesus who promises to be with us as we make disciples wherever we go in all the earth. And then the third week, we were praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, empower us to be witnesses. The fourth week, we were praying for the spiritual gifts of leadership that we need to equip us. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. What do we need to equip the church for the role of being witnesses as Jesus called us to be? And then in this final week of fasting, we've been praying, what is our place in the Great Commission? What is that new place that Jesus calls us to be witnesses? Where is that? And we've been thinking about these, talking about these things. As Travis said this morning, our leadership teams are talking about these things and praying for these things. And the whole point of Pentecost is, don't go there without waiting on the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this on your own, Jesus says. Wait for the Spirit to come. And so on this past Friday, the scripture that I asked you to meditate on and that I meditated on was Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And as I was meditating on the, just saying, Lord, what is there? Give me a fresh insight to this. And the thing that struck me is that Jesus is declaring something that is going to happen. It's a declaration of Jesus' authority. This will happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will be my witnesses. And I started to wonder, how is this different from the other experiences of the Holy Spirit that we talked about this morning? How is this different from the filling of the Holy Spirit that we experience when we're worshiping together? How is this different from the gifts of the Spirit that we practice when we're serving in the church together? And the difference that I could see in my own life, so this is now my personal confession, is this, that the filling of the Spirit in worship happens when I give myself fully to worship. It's not about who's leading worship. It's when I give myself to worship, the Holy Spirit responds and fills me with that spirit of worship. The gifts of the Spirit in teaching happen when I give myself to the study of Scripture and to the preparation and to actually standing up and teaching. So it's not something that happens without me fully engaging. The gifts happen when we give ourselves to the gifts. And so I ask myself, do I give myself fully to being a witness? Do I engage in the practice of witness so that the Holy Spirit can empower my witness? Is this a low score simply because we don't give ourselves to the practice of actually doing it? Now, I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want this. I pray for this. And as I was praying on Friday, I wonder if Jesus was saying to me, all right, let's do this together. I'm with you. The power of the Holy Spirit is on you to do this. And so I found myself praying for Jesus to do this thing, and he's saying, I'm waiting on you to actually engage. You, Norm, will receive power. You, Norm, will be my witnesses. Don't ask Jesus to do this. He's with us, and he's asking us to do this. And is the reason in North America that we don't see more of the power of the Spirit to be witnesses because we don't give ourselves fully to the task of engaging, trusting that the Holy Spirit will actually empower us as we engage in witness? And so our prayer this morning, I want to take some time around the tables and that we would pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in all of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. All of the fruit of the Spirit to be in us to make our character like Christ. All of the gifts of the Spirit so that our church will serve fully like Christ, the body of Christ. And all of the power of the Spirit so that we can be witnesses like Christ. The fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know for me, and so I put this on the screen, I know for me I would need to begin with some confession. Am I actually willing to be uncomfortable? May God bless me with discomfort at half-truths. That I can't do this, that I confess how I use my time or my gifts, how I engage as a witness. And so as we continue to seek God, what do you have for us as a church? This is the church that Jesus would send to a new location, right? A church fully engaged, fully empowered, fully serving the character of Christ, the mind of Christ, the service of Christ, and the power to be witnesses. And so as we continue to wait on the Lord, God, where would you send us? Who will be our next leader? Let's do what the apostles did leading up to Pentecost Sunday, and that is to say, Holy Spirit, we're waiting on you. We can't do this without you. That part is true. The other half of the truth is, with the Holy Spirit, we can do this. The Holy Spirit empowers us in all of these areas. So I'm just going to leave that slide up on the screen and invite you to take a few minutes around your tables just to pray. Confess if you need to, but let's pray for our church that the things that Christ intends for the church would be present in us so that we would be the church he could send anywhere in the city, and we know that we would be representing Christ well. Let's take a few minutes to pray. Our Father, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to us, and our desire is to see the fullness of the Spirit active in our lives and in our church. that the character of Christ may be evident in us as we love, as we show patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness to one another and to the world, as we serve with the gifts that you have given to the church, that the body of Christ might encourage one another, lead one another, teach one another, admonish one another, lift up one another, to heal one another, and that the power and the authority of binding and loosing and the privilege of holding those keys would be ours, and that we would learn to practice that with respect and with dignity and with confidence that you are with us in all of these things. We desire to see your church unleashed in the city in new and fresh ways, and we would ask for the privilege of being a part of that, that you would call us one person at a time to just a renewal, a reminder of things that we know are true, but that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a choice in our hearts to follow, to be obedient, to take risks into the uncomfortable. Thank you for the privilege of being called your church in this place. And on this Pentecost Sunday of unleashing power, we ask again for that privilege, that power would be unleashed in us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.